This is Connie Smith with OSU Extension in Fairfield County. My pleasure to welcome to the Saturday Morning Farm Page the advisors of the Thurston Future Farmers. I have Greg and Don Gruby. Now, help us out, Greg or Don. You guys are not the only advisors of Thurston Future Farmers, correct?
That is correct, Connie.
Okay.
We have quite a great group of advisors.
How many advisors? Go ahead, Greg. I'm sorry.
We have 10 advisors with us.
Okay. Now, how did you get that many advisors? How did that happen, Greg?
Well, it's happened through the years with the amount of kids that we've had go through the program, mm-hmm. and they've been parents that have been on with me.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an advisor for 33 years. I started back in 1988. And this year is going to be our 97th year for the club.
Oh, my. Greg, you haven't been around that long, have you?
No, I've been around for 33 years as advisor.
Oh, my gosh. Do you think there's still original members?
Oldest club in the county.
Wow. So do you guys know, are there still any original members of the club alive?
I don't believe there is.
Yeah.
We had a banquet, about 10 years ago now, and we invited anybody that had ever been an advisor for the club or some of the founding advisors, and I think shortly thereafter, the last one had passed away.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it's a nice heritage and that we have with our club.
Yeah.
You had asked about the advisors that we have. What's nice is, you know, a lot of our advisors, three of them, are actual former club members that now have children, and they wanted to continue with their Thurston Future Farmer legacy. And so now they're advisors, and their kids are in the club. And we have some incredible parents who just want to get more involved in their children's 4-H life.
Yeah, I think everybody, I think it's pretty easy to get involved and give back to 4-H. It doesn't take much. So, guys, let's rewind the clock just a little bit. And Don, I want to ask you about this. Let's think back at 2020, and let's think back about what you all had to try to do to hold the club together, and how were you able to try to stay connected to your members?
2020 was quite a challenge for us. We have a very integral, knitted club. We're so close. We are just one big extended family that does everything for each other. So not being person to person did give us a lot of challenges this year, because being a hands-on club of large animals, you know, most of the things that you do with the kids is all showing.
All right.
So to pivot like we had to do, and everything being online, it gave us all a brand new education on how to communicate on a better forum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to do a lot of Zooms. We did a lot of Facebook Lives. Mm-hmm. Both of those were challenging. You've got everything that comes with being in a technological world that could happen. But then you also have, you know, the etiquette that go along with social media and social platforms. We had one little cute kid who actually was getting undressed during a Zoom call. So we had to actually pivot. That was quite interesting.
Yeah.
You do a lot of muting and blocking and stopping videos very quickly. But
right.
I think when you're honest and very forthcoming, and you tell them that we're facing the same struggles they were,
mm-hmm.
that gives everybody the same feeling of inclusivity that, you know, we're all in this together. So it just kind of made everybody step up to the plate a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in all, as challenging as it was, it actually solidified our club and made it stronger, because we realized how much we depend on each other,
right.
how much we're there for each other, and just, you know, how strong we were.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Teaching them, you know, we're used to the books are being in front of them.
Right.
You know, we're helping them with their books, because each one of the 4-H club members has a record book. And, you know, it actually gave them that they had to step up to the plate. Each member had to step up to the plate even more than they had before, because honestly, we weren't there to make sure all those checks and balances mm-hmm. were marked. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Greg, help me out with this, because I know not only as a 4-H advisor are you involved, but you, as we've talked a couple times, we're also the swine superintendent for the Junior Fair Only Fairfield County Fair. Rewinding that clock again, Greg, how did that feel to kind of be very socially distanced in that swine barn, kind of an in-out type show? Tell us about some of the challenges you felt like you were facing before that opening day of Fairfield County Fair 2020.
Well, some of the challenges were just trying to get the kids into the barns. We had to use a couple different barns, so we had to have different alleyways to get the hogs where they needed to be. Mm-hmm. And it was a challenging thing, but I've got a great group of committee members that work with me. They stepped to the plate, you know, and they mm-hmm. helped out a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you guys, we're rolling forward to 2021. You have a lot of things on your plate. You're busy. Why do you, Dawn, why is it important for you to be a 4-H advisor?
I've been a 4-H advisor now. This is my 20th year.
Okay.
And a funny little side note, when Greg and I reunited and I moved down here to make our family as one, I actually became a 4-H advisor before I got married.
Oh, wow.
that's how strong we felt about, you know, the youth that we embrace. I went into it very blindly, as, you know, I didn't know what I was getting into, and it has been probably the most rewarding 20 years that I've had. The kids give back to you more than you could ever give them.
Okay.
You know, I have my own business, so yes, I'm very busy. You know, we have a very big active farm, so we're very busy there. And just busy with our children's social lives. But we love knowing that we can make time to make a difference in these kids' lives.
Yeah.
We're actually able to be creating the future.
Right.
So they say children are the future, and 4-H is one of those platforms that just gives so much to them.
Right.
That, you know, it's worth taking time out of our busy schedule, because once you get into that atmosphere of the kids and working with them and the energy of positivity that comes with 4-H, you know, the everyday stresses that you deal with, they just disappear.
Yeah. So you do a little something different. You kind of handle those clover bud activities for those non-competing children, ages 5 to 8. Is that correct?
That is correct. I have been a clover bud advisor now for the 20 years that I've been with the club, and I love it. I now am getting ready to be an advisor for one of my first clover bud kids.
Oh my. Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah.
It makes you feel old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always joke with our members that, you know, I get the kids before Greg gets the kids.
Yeah.
And seeing them grow and seeing them learn, so many of them, because they're the ages of 5 to 8. They're shy. They, you know, don't want to talk to people. They don't want to do things. And, you know, I, as a leader, because our meetings are at the exact same time as the older kids' meetings, and I actually a lot of times have my clover buds lead the pledges in front of the big kids.
Oh, wow.
Because it gives them a sense of, I'm part of this too.
Yeah, that's cool.
So then when they get up to the big club, they're just, you know, they're already helping others, and they're already getting in there, and a lot of them will sneak back, you know, they'll sneak out of the one meeting and sneak into where I am, because our meetings are in the same building, but on opposite sides.
Right.
and they'll come over and go, what are we doing today? I miss being here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have the little ones that all they want to do is show animals like their older siblings. But then you've got the older ones that really just want to come back to the pure simplicity of being a clover bud again.
Absolutely. So, Greg, tell me why. I know, you know, you wear several hats, you know, volunteer firefighter, the swine superintendent, different things you're involved in Liberty Union Young Farmers. Why would you take time from a busy schedule to be a 4-H advisor for 33 years?
I just love to help the kids grow. They learn leadership. They learn how to conduct themselves in front of others. And we can see that every year through every student or every member that we have.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of changes that we see the kids as they go through the 4-H career.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Do you have a favorite, when you guys think about it, is there a favorite 4-H activity in the 4-H year that you like the most, or is there, or is it all just, is it the fair, is it, you know, is it just looking forward to those club meetings? Is there one thing that you feel like your club really excels at?
I would say probably the showmanship.
Okay.
The amount of kids that we have going into showmanship and the way that they conduct themselves, they say thank you. They, you know, they are perfect kids when they go into the showmanship ring.
Okay. So that's life skills. You know what I mean? Really? Though it's, you know, you got an animal, you're presenting that animal, you're wanting that judge to get the best look he could possibly get. And showmanship, the deal really is that judge is also looking at that child as well, wouldn't you say?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's really cool stuff. So I guess we didn't do nuts and bolts here. Let's talk nuts and bolts. How many members in the club?
We usually have between 25 and 30 members on an average per year.
Okay.
And that's in the main Thurston Future Farmers Club. And then my Clover Bud Club tends to range. I've had years since there's only been two children, and recently I've had in excess of 15.
Wow. Wow. That's a lot of hands to keep busy, Dawn.
That's where we bring a lot of parents in to assist, and then that's where that open-ended conversation is of, you know, you're really great at helping do what I do. Why don't you become an advisor?
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you feel like, as we think back to 2020 and everything the parents had to do with their children, albeit the homeschooling, you know, the lack of extracurriculars, all the things and hoops that they had to jump through, do you guys feel like 4-H and being a part of that was the one stable element some of those kids might have had in their lives?
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Definitely.
It was very much the most stable thing that they had.
Yeah.
They worked in their barns a whole lot last year.
Yeah.
And you could tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was nice because when we actually, you know, were able to go back to having meetings with all the safety things put into place,
uh-huh,
we had our meeting at one of our club members' homes,
uh-huh,
and the Clover Buds got together, and just to see their faces light up that they physically got to see each other, and the older kids' faces light up, and then the parents who have all been struggling together, just look at the other parents with this sigh of, oh, this is one thing we needed that, mm-hmm, just makes everything feel good again.
Right. I think that's why, as we look back at 2020, even the fact that we got to have a junior fair only, I think that was important in a lot more ways than just slapping a champion animal. You know, I think even though it was abbreviated, it wasn't what we were all used to. But I think just for those families, just the ability to get together and watch our kids excel and complete a project was very, very important. So you guys, let me ask you one more question. Now, either one, Dawn or Greg, what is the hardest part of being a 4-H advisor?
We talked about this, knowing that you would be asking this question, and you know, it's there's really not a real hard part.
Really,
I mean, there are struggles.
Yeah.
As an advisor, and most of those struggles are learning points for us, because the hardest parts are sometimes some of the parents
that
tend to just maybe push every button or just push every button of everybody in the club. And those are the people that honestly we have to be grateful for, because they are the ones teaching us conflict resolution and teaching us how to be stronger for our club through dealing with somebody, because this is something that happens every day in our lives. Every day in our lives, we have that person who just, you know, just does something that maybe disrupts our happy place.
Right.
And this teaches us to, you know, teach the kids how to be a better person, how to not engage in the negativity, but let's redirect this. So that's the hardest part, I think, is just sometimes that conflict resolution with situations. Or, you know, the other thing that's really hard is the disappointment in the kids. You know, we've seen so many of our members, because we are a large member club, they've worked so tirelessly, they've been in the barn tirelessly, they've done everything they could. And that animal dies a week before they're ready for the fair.
Yep.
And or a first year member who's put all their heart and soul into project, that animal passes away before they get to show it. You know, being that person who has to reassure them that this is okay. You know, this is the circle of life. It had nothing to do with what you may or may not have done. This was you did everything that you could, and if you can say you were really, really, really proud of what you did, then you take that into the next year.
Right. And I think it's also important in today's climate, and Greg, you can probably talk to me about this a little bit. I think with these youth, we have to be really good advocates, and I mean agriculture advocates when I say that, because you are talking to these kids, and they are going to a fair who you don't know who's going to approach them about these are animals that are going to go from the farm gate to the plate. And I think there are some people that don't, that's a tough conversation, but you as advisors always have to prep them for that, you know? And I think, Dawn, your point about conflict resolution, you know, think about the years that we've had to prep our kids for there could be somebody coming to our fair that may not make it a pleasant experience for our children. So I think it's, I feel like 4-H, FFA, whatever group you're in, you become very well-rounded. What do you guys agree with that statement?
Oh, very much so.
Very much
so. You can tell the kids that have been involved, and they move on, and they become great leaders with whatever they're going to do.
Yeah.
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 And so many of our club members have gone on to do so many amazing things in agriculture. Right now, we've got two that are, you know, agriculture educators. We've got one that is going into ag sciences. Mm-hmm. We've got two other ones that are amazing breeders in their species.
Right, right.
And very successful breeders. So that gives us pleasure just seeing, you know, the little bit. You know,
right.
If we send just a small, you know, positive light in these kids' futures, then everything we've done has been worth it.
Absolutely. So tell me this. Well, one question, because one reason I wanted to talk to you both, because you have such diversity in your club. If someone listens to this interview and they think, man, it's 2021, I need to get off the couch and I need to start giving back, and I think 4-H is the place I want to give back. Is it tough? How tough is it to get involved with 4-H, and how tough is it to become a 4-H advisor?
it's not tough at all. You just, you go to the 4-H office, they give you an application, and you send that in, you get your fingerprints.
Yeah.
There's a series of interviews just to make sure you're a good fit.
Right.
There are people who really, you know, have a desire to do it, but they just might not be a good fit.
Yeah.
But all in all, almost everybody is.
Right.
And it is the simplest process. Like I said, when I first came down here, I came from a sewing background in 4-H, and I only honestly lasted 1 year because the county I was from wasn't very big into 4-H.
Yeah.
So when I came down here, I came in blind. I knew nothing about, I grew up in a little suburb. You know, my family had a farm, but I was not active on that farm at all. I did mostly things in the orchard.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I came down here and I knew nothing.
Yeah.
So everything I've learned over the past 20 years, it was all from scratch.
Wow.
And it's been amazing. I didn't come from an agriculture background at all, and I've learned so much about breeds and species and agriculture and ag sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, so you learn just as much as you're volunteering your time.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank Dawn and Greg Gruby for being a part of the 88.9 WLRY farm page. I think this is great to have husband and wife 4-H advisors. Dawn, looking back over 20 years, one of the best choices you ever made to be a 4-H advisor?
I think one of the best choices I ever made was definitely being a 4-H advisor. I've loved every moment of it. I encourage anybody to do it. If you just have a love of working with youth, then please consider it. It is very rewarding, and I highly encourage you to just take that jump and give back this year, because like we had said before, the youth right now are our future, and
yep.
We need to give them all the support they need.
Okay, Greg, now I'm kind of struggling, thinking that really you've been a 4-H advisor for 33 years. You must have started being a 4-H advisor when you were 13 or something. I'm trying to figure out the math here. Would you do it all over again, Greg?
I would. I would do it over again. 4-H advisor, when I was in 4-H, she says, "Hey, I'm leaving. You want the club?" I said, "I'll take it."
Yeah. Never looked back, did you?
Nope.
Yep.
Not at all.
Good. Hey, guys, thank you so much, Dawn and Greg Gruby, Thurston Future Farmers. Appreciate your time to be a part of the 88.9 WLRY Farm Page.